Show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. www.thematthewaronshow.com. At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You are listening to the Evolution Radio. What are we on Facebook? The Matthew Aaron Show. You go to the search bar. You type in the Matthew Aaron Show. Whatever. I'm going to turn off your mic if you are going to drink milk, eat Oreos, and be fucking annoying on my show. I swear to God right now. Luisi comes over. Lee and I are having a serious conversation about which acting symposium Lee is going to attend.
Right.
And this dum-dum is like, why don't they make the sleeves bigger on the Oreo bag?
He can't get, yeah.
I got two glasses of milk here. You want one, Lee?
Yeah.
What is this, kindergarten?
I love
this
it.
This is like recess.
He's being really Luisi-y today.
So anyways, what else are we on?
Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher, where you can listen to us on Stitcher.
And Twitter.
We're on Twitter, at Matt Aaron Show. I think we said that one. iTunes, subscribe there. Let's get more subscriptions than Kevy Pollak.
Click like on Facebook, please. Give us some likes.
So we're doing all that. All right.
Your co-host, Lee Capreas,
right?
Hello. At El Capreas.
Say hi, Alex.
Alex Luisi here. What's going on, guys?
Well, this is an exciting show because I recorded an interview yesterday with Jim Ross.
Okay.
And it was with Lisa. It was with Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be joining us in 30 minutes. I'll play that interview.
From Squared Circle?
Yep.
Oh, that's so great.
Yep.
How great is she?
She's the greatest ever. Yeah. She's
She is married, gentlemen. The waitress at the squared circle that serves
no, not waitress. She owns the place.
She owns it, yeah.
Waitress. Did
she
say waitress?
She waited on us. I was there once.
She did not wait on us. I don't think she knows how to wait on anybody.
That's true. What, you bring food from the...
The
right.
Former women's champions waiting on people? Come on.
Is she the former women's champion?
Yeah, she's a future Hall of Famer.
I don't know who these people are.
Oh, my God. Victoria.
If you haven't been to the squared circle, it's on Ashland, and they serve...
Fullerton and Ashland.
The corner of, and they serve crazy, epic mealtime-style food.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
And they are a wrestling bar, so you can get all your... Watch all your stuff
I can
there
already give you some go-tos.
With like-minded brethren.
Three appetizers I would do for go-tos off the bat. Appetizers. Yeah. One, the pizza wontons, outstanding.
Your angioplasty will be body slammed.
Yeah, the wontons are made in-house, the dough. It's made in-house.
Pizza wontons.
And then they throw on some sauce, and then they put in a little pepperoni.
They're pretty good.
And you take a couple bites, and you're good. This is one that's not on the menu, but you can get it. Trust me. Get just a side of fries and ask for all three of JR's sauces. I get the JR mustard, I get the JR barbecue sauce, and I get the JR chipotle ketchup, and I just dip away. It's fantastic.
Wow.
I thought JR's barbecue sauce was phenomenal, and then I had this mustard, and this isn't because he's on my show. I don't give a shit. It's the greatest mustard I've ever had in my life.
Really?
In my life. Because it's got a little kick to it. But not really.
Something I really...
It's a perfect replacement for mayonnaise.
You can get, yeah.
It's a great replacement for mayo.
I'm not nuts about mayo.
No, no, and it's not good for you. So it's a perfect replacement for mayo because it has 1 gram of sugar in it, the mustard, I found out.
Uh-huh.
Is it brown mustard?
No. It's yellow mustard, but it's got a little kick to it. And it is delicious. And the chipotle ketchup is like a sweeter steak sauce.
You can get milkshakes with booze in them, with vodka
and Twinkies.
And rum and Twinkies in them.
You can get Twinkie milkshakes with booze in them, or without booze.
That's like a once-a-year place for me. You've already gone there twice in the span of 2 months.
In 2 weeks. I went last week.
Oh, God.
I went last week. I went this week. So that's my three go-tos there.
Yeah, you work out every day.
I do. There's two burgers that are like killer there for me. Well, three burgers. JR's burger, I don't remember what it's called, but it's got an egg on it. And it's one of those kind of burgers. It's a hangover kind of burger.
Yeah.
Really good. The Kentucky Bourbon Burger, outstanding. It had mashed potatoes on it yesterday. And I was against this idea of putting mashed potatoes on a burger.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm starting... Garlic mash,
this
too.
Mash. This guy is nuts. This guy would put other tiny burgers on his burger.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Lisa's husband that's the chef.
Right.
And he's jacked. So I don't know if he eats the food...
Yeah.
Or I don't know what goes on there.
Yeah, his bicep is thicker than my head.
Well, I'm starting to think Lisa and her husband have this like plan to kill people off little by little, so they're the only two people left on the planet.
Yeah, you know, wrestling is really bad on your health, and if you eat there regularly, you will probably be as fucked up as they are.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I would suggest the Kentucky Bourbon, the Hot Mess. The Hot Mess a burger and a half. It'll get all over you, but it is spicy. Oh, it rips everywhere. It's a mess. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Pizza wise, I'm going to tell you right now, you do the thin crust.
Come on.
You do the thin crust with the egg and pepperoni, better than Vito and Nick's.
You think so?
Wow.
The egg and pepperoni.
I feel like we're dining at the whole place right now.
Listen, right. The egg and pepperoni pizza is better than Vito and Nick's egg and pepperoni pizza. It's still, for me, thin crust-wise, Vito and Nick's is hard to beat.
I'm surprised Mikey's not busting out of the wall right here.
I don't think he would disagree.
You mentioned the pizza. You just made a face like Kermit the Frog when Miss Piggy comes onto him. Oh, my God.
We had the slobber knocker last week. It had on mac and cheese, chicken, and JR's barbecue sauce. It was great.
We had the slobber knocker.
Yeah,
yeah, but what did you eat?
Yeah, right. And then what's the other pie that's really good there that I've had? They have this like 7 meat pie that's outstanding because it's the best meat you can get in town. It's
crazy.
Great. It's great.
The lightest thing on his whole menu is like deep fried corn on the cob. That's the lightest thing you can get.
I had the Johnny corn yesterday.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah. But that's like the lightest thing.
Right. And for dessert,
I can't do that.
There's only one go-to on the dessert for me is the Twinkie calzone, which is a calzone with a Twinkie in it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's insanity. And we'll be going there once a month to do the show.
Oh, man. Really?
So that's your That's your cheap meal.
Don't let Ronnie hear that. I was going to go there later.
Ronnie wants us to come by and do a show from there soon. He's been begging me.
I know.
Begging me. He goes, when are you going to do a show here?
I'm going to go there just to hang out.
Another wrestling guy.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling loves us.
Loves us, yeah.
Loves us. Oh, my God. Ronnie would cream his trousers if he knew Jim Ross was on the show tonight. I should have told him. No, he would have killed me for not having the show at his place.
At his place, plus he would have killed you for pre-taping the interview.
Oh, no, he would want to have been there.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa was there for it. Victoria was on with us.
You know,
I don't know whether to call her Victoria or Lisa. I'm going to go by her gimmick name, her wrestling name, Victoria.
That Ronnie's just going to be happy. He's going to have to be happy with that.
Yeah, he's just going to have to live with
he's
it.
He's going to have to live with it.
Yeah,
Victor, that is not her Christian given name.
No. Victoria is not her Christian given
name.
Confirmation. It's Lisa.
Name.
But we'll call her Victoria because I think that's easy for everyone.
Yeah.
So that was cool. We'll play that interview soon. One of the things I wanted to talk about today was, you know, all this stuff's been going on after the draft with the Michael Sam shit and everything. I don't really care about that. What I care about is finally something in this story happened where I, like, gave a half a shit.
Uh-huh.
I don't care about him kissing dudes on TV. I don't care about any of that bullshit. No. But once again, just proving, you could make a sports franchise tons of money. And you could win championships, but and you could be gay. Just keep the queer off our TV.
Right.
Just keep no kissing on my television.
Right.
Who's going to explain that to my 10-year-old son?
To my kid.
It's stupid. But I just don't give a shit about any of it. I've given up on, like,
well, if
all
they,
this
if
stuff.
They don't watch the games, how are they going to entertain themselves? They can't.
Oh. So here's the one thing I do care about.
Oh,
Bro signed a deal today with Oprah to do a docu-series on her network, which is codenamed for classy reality show.
Yeah, right.
Because they called Lindsay Lohan's reality show a docu-series, too. And if that's a documentary, it's the trashiest fucking documentary I've ever seen. Lindsay Lohan show.
Lindsay is more interesting than that guy.
No.
No?
I don't think either of them are interesting. Really? I would argue neither of them are interesting.
Okay.
Here's another. Well, let's just start with this. OWN. This is a network for women, right?
Uh-huh.
Why are you making documentary... why am I calling it a docuseries? Why are you making trashy reality shows with gay icons? Women don't... Listen, Lindsay's show was so low-rated, no one watched it, including... The gays watched the first two weeks.
There's a lot of gay
and
stuff.
And then they stopped watching it.
Do women... Isn't the secret out about gays that, like women, there's just, like, so much, there's more gay things now in culture than there used to be, such that,
yeah,
like,
I think so.
Women are like, okay.
I think so, and I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, I guarantee you 30 to 40% of that audience for Lindsay's show was gay guys.
Uh-huh.
So if they can't pull in ratings with Lindsay Lohan in the gay community... I mean, how much of the gay community do you think are going to want to watch a reality show about a football player? Let's just be honest. They're happy that they have a guy playing football who's out of the closet and a guy playing basketball who's out of the closet and all this. But
shit.
Do they really want to watch a show about the guy?
I'm truly tolerant. I don't give a shit.
The first episode will get like 900,000 viewers, maybe a million, and it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Calling it right now.
Right. I think you're right.
So that's first. When did OWN turn into logo? I thought it was for like 50-year-old women because that was Oprah's bread and butter.
Bread and
By
butter.
The way, Oprah's proven outside of her talk show, she can't sell shit. She can't.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Her magazine numbers are way down. Her network draws nothing.
What's happening to the Opire, the Empire?
Yeah, right. I love this one show she has on there. I think it's called like Oprah Masterclass or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh,
does that,
my God.
Is that where she shows you how to paint like a portrait?
It's like University just, Oprah. Yeah,
but like up against a white background,
like
Bob Ross. Yeah.
Like Bob Ross on PBS.
He's fantastic.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two. All right, dude. So you make out with a dude on TV. Cool. Big step for gay kind. It's awesome. I'm down with it. Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Here's where I think you're doing a disservice for your community. The community that idolizes reality shows and idolizes not having any talent outside of wanting to be on a reality show, the gay community, for a lot of people. I'm telling you, I've talked to a lot of gay men who don't want to... I would tell them, You want to act in this movie? Well, I don't want a lot of lines. Are you doing any reality? They're all interested in reality TV. That's what they're interested in, reality TV.
The solipsism of that is just mind-bending.
They don't want to think.
You're putting yourself out there on reality TV. And by the way, there's never been a reality show that was classy.
Yeah.
Just never. Never. Even the ones we watch, like Storage Wars and blah, blah, blah.
Did you see the one where it was the guy... But they were tricking him, but then they felt bad for him because he was like such a nice guy.
Yes.
It was like a.
Yes, it was like the reverse Joe Millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It was like an early one.
Yep. So here's the thing. Here's what I know about reality shows. Two things, and this is why it's a disservice to your community, and you're not really helping the gay community. One, reality shows are all scripted.
Right.
All of them.
They're fake.
We're not seeing the real you. And we weren't seeing the real you as it is. Your publicist, your PR guy is Howard Bragman, who is one of the biggest publicists in Hollywood. He helps everybody come out of the closet. Everybody. And he gives you scripts of what to say.
Right.
He trains you of how to behave on camera.
There is not a single unscripted moment on any of those shows. From Storage Wars to Duck Dynasty to Pawn Stars, none of that happens as it is.
So one, now I'm suspecting we're watching bullshit and you're just cashing in.
Yeah.
Two, and that's a disservice to your community. You're no longer Lou Gehrig, okay?
Uh-huh.
Or you're no longer Jackie Robinson, okay? You are a guy who sold out and got, you know, your reality show and your Nike deals and this and that for a seventh
round
draft pick.
You've already besmirched your name. You haven't even played a single pro game yet.
Right. Okay. So first of all, we know these documentaries, docu-series, reality shows are fake.
Yeah.
They're bullshit. Which now makes me suspect, and I kind of suspected the day it happened, that kiss was supposed to happen on purpose.
Right.
Done and done. I'll tell you why. Here's my theory on this. The day before he got drafted, ESPN and the NFL Network supposedly went to Michael Sam and he didn't want the cameras in his house. All of a sudden, the day he gets drafted, the cameras are in his house.
Right.
And then there's a big cake eating, like wedding cake eating. This is straight out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is straight up Hollywood publicity.
Having your cake and eating it too. Oh, white frosting sticks to the face.
I'm going to feed my boyfriend cake and kiss him.
Yeah.
It's so phony. So I thought even at the time, this is put on.
It's a Gary Marshall movie.
But you know what? Great. Okay, good. It's out there. He kissed on ESPN. That's never happened. Wonderful.
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Now I think it's all bullshit. Now I think this whole thing has been a PR thing, step by step, written for you, done for you. And I think this reality series with Oprah, Miss Aspirations of big values and morals.
As quickly as it was an interesting sort of milestone news story, it was a manufactured controversy.
Mm-hmm.
With Oprah riding the wave, as always, for extra press, whatever she can get off somebody, I swear.
And by the way, which reality shows worked out for Terrell Owens?
Yeah.
Chad Johnson? The Jets.
The Jets. There was a series about
Jets.
The Jets. Yeah.
When have these ever worked out for football players?
Yeah.
You think the producers...
That Rex Ryan, he's a winner.
Well, you think the producers are going to give a shit about your football career?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Right.
Oprah don't want to watch you on training field. There are going to be a lot of B-roll of him training in training camp. There's going to be a lot of B-roll, I guarantee you, and like little snippets here and there. But most of it's going to be about his boyfriend and his family life and all this bullshit.
Uninteresting. Not related to sports.
It might as well be a sitcom. Just go make a sitcom, bro, about being gay.
With the guy, yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What percent of guys, gay guys, watch football?
There's a decent percentage. He was the second highest rookie draft jersey sold next to, what's his face, Johnny Football.
I don't know about that. Football ratings, they're always pretty strong.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't know if you know about that.
Guys.
No. It wasn't about. See, this is where Alex is only half right. Here's why. You're on the right track, but it wasn't about football games drawing ratings. They don't give a shit about that.
No.
They do great. The ratings are outstanding. The Rams draw well all the time. They don't need a boost in attendance. None of this shit is needed. ESPN and the NFL Network on draft day, round 7, when nothing fucking happens, and it's a loser day for ratings.
Ratings.
They needed it.
Right.
Done.
Those guys needed
right
it.
There.
The St. Louis Rams don't fucking need
Boy,
it.
Boy, we cracked this one.
It's all
no,
marketing.
I mean, listen, this
you're,
is just so
right.
transparent to me
yeah.
from being in the business and watching this bullshit just go down step by fucking step.
I mean, we're talking about it.
No, it's just, it's just I feel like the only people that can maybe get a positive thing from this are youth gay sports stars, like the youth.
Yeah.
Definitely minority youth.
Okay.
However, can I be honest, and this isn't me hating, I think it's going to be a minimal impact on that even.
Yeah.
Listen, he may give the strength to a couple kids, and by the way, there was a story in the papers the next day, and I wonder who put it in there, that, of course, when Michael Sam got drafted, some kid's son was sitting and watching the draft and came out to his father.
I know. I'm
right.
Just, it's
you
so,
read that, too?
It's true, yeah.
And when you read that, you're just like,
it's just like, oh, that's not even good writing.
No! No, who's
like,
making
I've
this up?
I've seen that before, yeah.
Well, when you don't pay journalists anymore,
someone,
you get hacked.
Let me just say, someone in my family...
The Irv Kupchniks are dead in this
yeah,
town,
right.
okay?
Irv is dead.
Yeah.
Kup is dead.
Yeah, Kup's dead.
Yeah. David Foster Wallace killed himself.
Yeah, right.
Someone in my family said, I don't like fiction TV. I want to watch reality shows because I want to see real stories, real people. Well, we just said that stuff is fake and manufactured. But the fiction shows are more real than the reality shows.
Yes. No, no, no.
Because drama goes back to ancient Greece. It's not a plot to trick people and pull the wool over their eyes. It contains narrative. It contains emotional truths mm-hmm. and intellectual truths that are based on people's actual lives.
Lee and I talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the show. It may have just been one of our apartment talks. But we were talking about, at a point in time, there were people interested in filming a pilot with me and the guys and everything we're doing.
Oh, boy.
They were interested in doing one of those pilot demos. You know, like they spent $10,000 to film like 5 minutes of you and your friends and do interviews and, you know, whatever. And I told Lee, and I remember we had this conversation.
Yeah.
Just about, like, because, you know, money was tight at the time, and I'm like, well, maybe we do a reality show, and if it hits, we get some money, and blah, blah, blah. Our friends are interesting. We're interesting.
What about the cartoon?
Well, here's... No, cartoon's different. That's different. It's a talk show.
That's different.
All right. But here's the problem. And we give away ideas on the air for free,
Momo. Yeah, thank
Momo.
You very much.
He
ate a whole roll of these cookies.
Yeah, stop eating...
Sound like Jim... I just don't understand that.
Let's not forget, too, and this is like a big deal to me. The Kardashians' first two episodes of that series are as close to reality television gets. You get to know the family. After that, everything's a sitcom plot on that show.
Right.
There's only so much you can do with a reality show before you have to start writing a million storylines.
If it's not a parody of itself when you start filming it, it will be after one season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'll give you an example.
Two seasons.
Part of the show that we're making is kind of based off my experience making this film, the sitcom I'm making right now with
uh-huh.
the studio. Part of it's based off my experiences dealing in the gay community. The show's not about me. The show doesn't star Matthew Aaron as Matthew Aaron. It's not interesting. It runs out of steam after a few episodes.
Oh.
No one cares. In order to sell this, and by the way, what delivers a better message? Writing great comedy and writing great drama that people watch at home and are influenced by that, or reality shows. What reality show has ever influenced someone other than to be on a reality show?
Let me tell you something. If you put your ear to the ground, if you listen to just in buses or when you're waiting for the train or you're at restaurants, what do people talk about more than any other thing? Property? Do they talk about families? Do they talk about current events? The thing that I hear the most people talking about, just in casual, is television.
It's television.
It's television. And
but you
series.
Hear what, you hear what they talk about? Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Breaking Bad.
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I never hear people talk about the Kardashians because I'm not a 16-year-old girl or a 21-year-old gay man. I don't hear anyone talk about the Kardashians.
I get
okay?
It.
You hear people talk about the Kardashians?
No.
He was just talking about them.
Okay. My point being is these reality shows don't influence people. They don't inspire people to do anything but be reality twats.
Mm-hmm.
Sitcoms and dramas that are well-written, those are what inspire people. You know what?
But that, I mean, ultimately...
You could have thought that Ellen coming out on her show was a little schmaltzy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She had the balls to
Ellen
do it
DeGeneres
with...
Ellen DeGeneres or
yeah,
Ellen Page?
She had, no, Ellen DeGeneres. She had the balls to do it within the confines of a sitcom.
Right.
And came out at the same time in the press.
Right.
But she wrote a fucking episode about it.
Right.
That influenced people to come out. Not the fact that Ellen came out.
She's all class at Ellen.
Yeah, it's not even so much that. It's that people watch the show. I'm going to turn off your mic, too, with the fucking Oreos.
Yeah, they're good.
I'm going to shove this mic so far
I'm
up
so
your
sorry.
Ass. JR is going to be calling that, too. He's going to be like, oh, my God, up Lee's ass, right up his ass. Holy Lord.
You gotta soak
this is
Oreo
action you could only see on Monday Night Raw.
Right. So that's my Michael Sam take. I think this reality series
honestly,
is
though, this,
a disservice.
This, yeah, this diatribe, though, it doesn't need anything from us because those shows will live on for long and the reality shows will be forgotten.
That's true, but what you got to remember, here's why it's importantly, is the gay community is still fighting a battle for equality. So they will literally take anything on TV that's gay.
Yeah.
They look at anything on TV that is gay as a positive step. And it's hard to argue that.
It is.
It is hard to argue that. But I will say this.
Maybe we
I don't think this reality show is really a positive.
We can find terrain on the battlefront that would be more productive and
right.
helpful to the community
right.
than television shows.
Listen,
I'm sorry, Kate.
Well, but I'll tell you this. Will and Grace is a million times more productive than Michael Sam's reality
yeah.
show.
How about Visitation Rights?
I like that show.
At the hospital.
Well, they're still working on that kind of stuff, too. But you know what the problem is, too, that I've noticed in the gay community? You know who's working on that kind of stuff is 50-year-old gay men.
Yeah.
Not 20-year-old gay men. Now, listen, the gay community has
Once
the
they're
same
done
problem,
going to all them clubs.
The gay community has the same problem the straight community has. I mean, this is just the truth. The difference is where it happens. The gay community has a problem. I can hear you eating Oreos in my fucking
I'm
ear,
doing it to piss you off now.
Greek fuck. Mike, right up your ass. The gay community, their issue is they can't get young people to go out and you know, like we were I was talking about this today with Maddie, who's co-starring in the movie with us. The gay people can't get people, young people to go out for rallies and vote.
Right.
And town halls. And to know their own history.
Right.
Just like straight people can't get straight people to go out and vote.
Right.
And change the democracy and to change, you know, what's going
Which
on
should
in this
tell
country.
You that we all have the same problem.
We do.
We're all oppressed, folks.
That's why we have land.
At the end of the day, 18 to 35-year-olds all have the same problem.
The same
they don't
problem.
Give a fuck.
They don't give a shit.
And it started with Gen X. And it probably started with movies that explained it, like Reality Bites.
Yeah.
And
Singles.
And Empire Records and Singles
yeah.
and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And our generation, you're and Mize and Alex, is we started the don't give a fuck trend.
Yeah.
The millennials are now taking that trend.
Gotta hate that word.
And it's like their whole life.
Right.
The whole they're horrible.
Yeah, it's the whole life is don't give a fuck.
They're horrible.
We just didn't give a fuck about politics or didn't give a fuck. We're just
no.
like, fuck you.
They don't even want to work.
It's
they don't. None of them want to work.
No.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
They don't want to work at jobs. I will give you this. Once again, Alex is half right. They don't want to work at jobs such as, I mean, I know I'm a hypocrite for saying this because I'm doing something different, but they don't want to do things such as be doctors.
Yeah.
Or lawyers.
Yeah.
Or chemists.
STEM jobs.
Chemists.
What they call STEM jobs.
There are no more scientists.
Engineers.
Engineers.
Yeah.
Jobs that are actually, by the way, open and available.
Yeah, that we have.
They don't want to be those things. They want to be bartenders and waiters and office cubicle jobs.
No, they have... Something like a million people in China are engineers,
yeah.
are graduating
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
A million.
Right.
There's more engineers than there is space and
right.
people to put in buildings.
China.
Yeah.
In China.
In this country, like 80,000 people want
we
to be
fill
DJs.
A building. Yeah,
no.
right.
Yeah.
With the DJs,
yeah,
we could.
Yeah, DJs, yeah.
Yeah. But if you tried to put everyone that wants to be an engineer into the Sears Tower, you'd fill up like 30 floors.
Right.
No one cares.
Nobody.
No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. So that is our little ranting on that. That took up our whole 30 minutes. Wow.
I know. That was great, though.
Yeah,
that was satisfying.
Was
I need a cigarette after that.
Yeah, I feel like we just wrote a column for Vice.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh, God.
You know what was good?
No, sorry, guys. Follow your dreams. And
No, by the way, before I'm getting called a hater, because I know I'm going to get emails saying I'm a fucking hater, it's going to happen.
Nobody.
I like Michael Sam. I think what he's doing is great, minus this reality show. And if you listen to the show outside of the JR podcast, you know I love gay people. It has nothing to do with anything like
you
that.
You can send your hate mail to me,
yeah,
listeners.
Right.
The minute
now,
you
the millennial the, hate mail will take.
Yeah,
that's our fault.
They
we
won't.
Do
they
hate
don't
you.
Care. They don't
yeah,
care
but
enough.
You're not going
to
bother enough to write.
That's right. It's P.O. Box Lee Cabrera.
If there was an app on their phone to send us hate mail, they would.
I would love that. No one is calling me.
Yeah. We should create that app, the hate mail app.
Yeah, we should.
Where you just type in something and it sends hate mail to like whoever you want.
That'll catch on.
It's just called hate.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to call it hate mail. Yeah. You can buy it for 99 cents in the app store.
Oh, whoa, 99 cents.
And it's like a, you get like 160 characters to say how much you hate somebody and send it to them.
You could send a Snapchat.
That's great.
Now.
Everyone can join and be like, I want to see if anyone hates me. It'll be the opposite of having friends, like Facebook friends.
It'll
it's
be
like, all right, you sign in, you have your own profile.
Hatebook.
Yeah, right. It's Matthew Aaron 83, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And all people send you is hate. And you're like, well, let's see. I got 7 hate messages today.
Die.
You're a
I'm
fat prick.
You.
Hey, fat faggot, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, piece of shit.
Rotten
hell. And I'm like, huh. Well, this asshole. And then you carry on with your day. And then you get to go bitch to all your friends. This guy called me a fat prick today.
Yeah.
On hate app. On hate mail. They called me on hate mail.
Look at this here. Where did you get those gym pants? Target?
I think I'm onto something with this hate mail.
This is good.
Hate mail.
Hatebook.
Hatebook. Hatebook's good, too.
Yeah.
Hatebook's good, too, because Facebook may buy it just to bury it.
Yeah.
They may give us $1 billion just so they can put it in the ground and cover it up.
Yeah.
Hatebook it is. That idea is now being stolen.
Spreading
but, I mean, that's being copyrighted. We're doing it live on
the
air.
Yeah, it's copyrighted.
You can't steal that.
It's already been copyrighted.
This.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Jim Ross is a big, big dude in a 10-gallon hat, and he's got some wrestling stuff to tell us about.
Woo!
Huh?
What? That's Ric Flair, Momo.
I know. I like Ric Flair.
What does that have to do with Jim Ross?
I know, but it's wrestling.
Do you have anything that relates to anything we're talking about? Well, yeah, we'll come back and talk about diabetes, and you can bring up your Oreos.
Fuck.
All right. Well, this was Jim Ross. Myself, Victoria, Steve Weirich had a question for Jim and buzzed in. So we're all here for this one.
Is this at the Squared Circle?
It is at
so
the
So we're
going to
hear
circle.
Wrestling in the background?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't listened.
I can't
maybe.
Wait.
Maybe. I do want to thank the Squared Circle for having us once again on Ashley and Fullerton. We'll be coming by to eat there often. I think we plugged the shit out of it at the beginning of the show. But,
yeah, I think we did.
But once again, food's excellent. And by the way, the beer list there is outstanding.
They do have good beers.
They have hams. That's
have
all
hams,
you really
need
to know. All right, here's JR, good old Jim Ross, with Matthew Aaron, Victoria, former women's champion Victoria, and future Hall of Famer.
And my future wife.
And your, yeah. Someone may have something to say about that. And Steve Weirich.
I think
this may be Jim Ross calling in. Is this Jim Ross?
Yes, it is.
Yay.
How are you, sir? This is Matthew Aaron. I'm sitting here with someone you know, Victoria, and my buddy Steve Weirich, who does the show with me here. And we're really happy to have you on to promote your show at the House of Blues, which is May 31st. The doors open at noon, and the show starts at 1 p.m. I can't wait to go. You can go to Ticketmaster or your website, which we'll be talking about, to get tickets for the show. We're really excited to have you on.
Well, thanks. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Miss you, man. I can't wait to see you.
We're gonna make it by the Squared Circle when I come to Chicago at some point.
I'm very excited about
I'm
that.
Forward to,
I'm gonna go and watch you at the House of Blues too and support you. You know, think about Jim Ross. He's the one that hired me, and he was the best talent relations guy. He really truly cared about each and every one of us. Brush us to the side, didn't pretend to be on the phone when you're walking up to him. and he can make a turtle race so exciting with his commentary. The best commentary. He's the best. He's truly the best. And you are truly missed.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. It was an interesting job, you know. Sometimes I felt like a priest, and sometimes I felt like a Dr. Phil and Dr. Drew and, you know, Dr. Whomever, Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Seuss.
It was a great run, but it was full time, man. It was everybody had it. You know, before it sounded like I'm writing a country song, but it was actually before the days of cell phones, by and large. So I got phone calls at home at all hours of the night, you know, and then thank God, I think it would probably been they got crazier with cell phones and stuff. But anyway, it was a great round. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was fun while it lasted.
What entailed that? What came with that job, Jim? What do you have to do as a talent relations guy? Because I remember back in the day reading about, like, when the whole Jeff Jarrett controversy happened, where Jeff Jarrett was holding up Vince for money because he had the Intercontinental title. And I heard, does that go through your department then? Are you in charge of these kind of things? What happened with talent relations?
Yeah, that was on my watch as my issue to deal with. You know, I learned a lot. Everything that bad happens to you in life, if you choose to, you can address it in a lot of ways. You can carry it with you, and it can always be a bad memory. Or you can learn from it and turn the negative into a positive to the degree that, God, I'm glad I had that experience, but I'm never going to do that again. So that's kind of how I looked at a lot of things. You know, I was under the impression that Jeff and I had a verbal agreement to extend his contract. And that was the conversation we'd had. And there was a handshake. And his contract was ending on the day of the pay-per-view there in Cleveland, where he was going to wrestle China, which I never thought was a good booking either, but neither, that's another story. I'm not big on women wrestling men on TV anyway for money, for payday. The intergender wrestling thing is not my bailiwick.
Mm-hmm. Not mine either, JR. Not mine at all.
It's illogical.
Yes. Yes.
It's illogical. I mean, it's just it doesn't compute. So, in any event, he showed up on the last day of his contract and. Basically, it was a little power play, and I would have been happy to say, you know, I think today McMahon probably would have said, well, you know, if you don't want to do your business on the last day of your contract, or maybe this contract ended the day before, I'm not real sure, then hit the door. You know, we'll see you. Thanks for your services. Good luck on your future endeavors, all that good stuff. And let him go. And then tell the people on television that you had a contractual impasse with your Intercontinental champion, who apparently didn't want to wrestle China. So we're gonna have a match, and the winner will be the Intercontinental champion or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fiction, for God's sake. So you tell a story that's a little bit plausible, and you still have the match with China versus a guy. But that was the big selling point. It wasn't the fact that the Intercontinental title was red hot. It was the fact that it was China wrestling for the Intercontinental title. It was a nice storyline.
Right.
But in any event, I was responsible for negotiating all the contracts, dispersing all the discretionary income, hiring, firing, the drug program, the recruiting, the training, the discipline. I booked a lot of events. I handled all the payroll for the talents. And I sit in on executive meetings with the chairman. So I had I wore a black hat on Monday night and became JR, the wrestling announcer. So it was a full-time gig, to say the least, but one that it was a great run, and you know, I look back at it and wish I'd done this differently or that differently, but all in all, I'm proud of my body of work and the great people I got to provide an opportunity to live their dream.
Well,
and that's, at the end of the day, that's what's cool.
I will say, JR, I will say, for as accomplished as you are as an announcer and one of the best announcers ever, and here's how great of an announcer you are, that you are recognized outside of the sport of wrestling as being a great announcer, which sometimes wrestling doesn't get any due because it's fictional and whatever. You are recognized outside of the sport as an amazing announcer, so that should give you the credit there. But the fact that you did this job, then we're hearing about everything that it entails right now. Holy cow, I'm shocked you didn't lose your mind at some point.
Absolutely.
I may have, I'm not sure.
Or your hair.
Yeah, he's got great hair still. I don't know how that happened.
The hair is good.
The hair is good.
I did smoke a lot of cigarettes, and I drink a lot of Crown Royal.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit drinking Crown Royal as much. Since moving to Oklahoma, I quit smoking in January.
Congratulations!
Oh, that's great.
I'm on this big health kick, so
well, I need
I'm still a
fat
ass guy, but it is what it is. But I am doing what I can to you know, cut back on the dairy, the sugar, hitting the gym 4 or 5 days a week.
I wanted to bring the light. I wanted to bring the light what other people, I don't know, maybe new fans don't know about you, which is for a while you and Ric Flair were in control of the book at NWAWCW, and it's an interesting time period for me because you guys were doing the best booking that promotion had seen in a long time. Could you basically give us the short version of that story of how that came about and why you guys stopped booking for the promotion?
I think that it was basically the short story is that WCW management wanted to keep Flair happy because he was a top star, had the most name identity, had the most clout. He wanted that job as the booker, and then he needed me to make sure that the work got turned in on time. And you know, most main event guys are bookers.
Yeah,
love to book their storylines, and then they lose their buzz when they got to book the rest of the card.
Yeah.
So basically speaking, it was Rick got to be in control of his own storylines, have creative control, and then he and I collaborated on the rest of the card. So
yeah, because I sensed go ahead.
The big issue is active talent should never be involved in creative.
Kevin Nash. Mm. Yeah, right. I love Kevin, but
I'm not picking on Kevin.
No, I'm not either. The reason I bring it up is on Austin's podcast. He even said he's like I should not have been booking that promotion, and Bischoff has said it, and yeah. So I mean, that was an example. It's just you lose interest after you.
Yeah.
But I could tell it was JR booking because the tag team division in WCW was so good when they were booking at this time. From you had the Fantastics and the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express, and you had all these great teams and Doom and the Steiner Brothers, and you could just tell it had JR's flavor to it. So I could just tell that was you, and it was a really well done job during that period, sir.
Well, thanks. It was fun, but you know it brings on. The two C's are always the culprits anytime there are issues in pro wrestling. The two C's, cash and creative. Real simple. Most people leave a company or get pissed off or they become unhappy because of either the creative, cash. Mm. And I think Lisa would probably agree with that. What other reasons are there?
Right.
I didn't know I was going to travel this much. Oh, you didn't? Like, well, I guess... You know, where you been?
Yeah, right, right.
We tour. It's a traveling job.
Right.
You know, it's like being a flight attendant. God, I didn't realize it was going to be like so many airplanes. Welcome to the world of pro wrestling. So here you go. So that's the two C's are the problems, and I enjoyed creative because I wasn't involved in it. I didn't have a horse in a race. I didn't want, you know, God forbid me being seen in tights. It's not fair to children or women or those with good sight. So, you know, hell, I was very happy to try to provide a product that I felt like other fans like me would enjoy because that's how I did my booking as a fan. What I thought was good, compelling, good stories that try to be objective. So I had no agenda. And anytime you get a talent involved in the booking, they can't help. They're human.
Yeah.
They're going to have agendas.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you, were you upset that Eric Bischoff got the job as president of WCW over you? Was there any kind of, like, I know you wanted that job at the time. Is that true?
At the time, I thought I wanted the job.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was upset. Ironically, I just interviewed Eric last night on my podcast for down the road a few weeks, and because I work a little bit ahead, it's just me. I like to have things under control.
This is on Podcast One, by the way. Podcast1.com is JR's podcast. Yeah.
All right. And I asked him about that. You know, we talked about it straight up. And, you know, he wanted to change the image of being a Southern company, which was, you know, going to be challenging because we're based in Atlanta, which, you know, last I looked was south of Mason-Dixon line. And they weren't going to redo geography to make Atlanta a northern city, but Eric wanted to make the brand more national, and he needed to kind of clean the slate. And so I was so identified with that brand that, you know, they took me off the air, which was a violation of my own contract. But I never was angry, because I wasn't unemployed very long, and I went to work for McMahon, and 20-plus years later, I had a 20-plus year run there working for him, and
yeah.
That's a good tenure for those that know Vince, you know, to be under his employee 20 years. So I, at the end of the day, and I'll get out of this question, but at the end of the day, and Eric, I talked about this, at the end of the day, it was the best thing for me in the long haul mm-hmm. and the best thing for him in the long run. And so we both won. It was a win-win.
Yep.
But at the time, yeah, I was, my feelings were hurt. My feathers are ruffled. And so my lawyer and Turner's lawyer said, well, you can, we got to pay you for 2.5 more years. So if you just want to, you know, hang out, go do what you want to do. But I didn't want to leave the game. So, you know, it's one phone call to New York, in essence. And McMahon and I met in Augusta, Georgia at a TV taping. And we talked for 3 hours outside the building while the show was being taped, which never happened, so I was told. And he hired me soon thereafter. And
that's
I stayed there over 20 years. So it was pretty cool.
No, it's great. There's only a very few, select few people I could think that worked for Vince that long. One of them, my good friend Valerie Morella, her father, Gorilla Monsoon, he was, of course, there forever. And I've heard that you really loved Gorilla. I was told to bring that up to
yeah.
you. She wanted me to bring that up to you, that she says hello and that she really loved how much you loved her father.
I still do. I think about him every day.
That's great.
That's nice.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's when I got to WWE, they frowned upon those from WCW, and because I was so closely related to WCW as their play-by-play guy on the cable and on the pay-per-views and the Clash of Champions and all that good stuff, I was not welcome with open arms in WWE by a vast majority of the people that worked at the TV facility. People would walk, you know, they didn't want to engage in conversation. They didn't, you know, they were rude. They were cold shoulder. I was part of the enemy, even though I was working for them. So Monsoon, God bless him, saw that and saw that I had done nothing to any of these people. A lot of them I didn't even know. 95% I didn't even know. And he had a little come to Jesus meeting with him one day and they edit one suite and pretty well read him the Riot Act. He was disappointed in all of them. And if you didn't like this guy, who's a lifer and he loves the business, then you don't need to associate with me either. Hmm. And that carried a lot of weight in that TV facility because Gorilla was God over there because everybody loved him, and rightfully so. He was like a big uncle, father, grandfather. He was just such a wonderful man. And then Bobby Heenan joined in. And Bobby Heenan was always comedic and laughing and making jokes. And the guys that worked in that facility had never seen Bobby Heenan that serious.
Wow.
And
Bobby Heenan joined in with Gorilla and said, that goes for me too. I mean, this guy's just here trying to do his job. And so they broke the ice and it made things. And then, you know, after all these years, I've got great friends that are still working in that TV facility that I wouldn't have had if it hadn't been for Chino, Bob Morella stepping up and being the man that he was, the character that he had, and letting them know that they were embarrassing everybody around them for being such, you know, jag-offs, I guess I should say. They were just being rude and jackasses.
That's great. So there you go, Val. We love your dad. He was the greatest. And
So I think about him every day. And
yeah.
I get on Twitter, I get Gorilla Monsoon questions every day. And now that the WWE Network is on the air,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of younger fans of today's generation never saw Gorilla and me work. You know, I was his partner. And he moved to the analyst chair and let me do play-by-play. And didn't have an issue with it whatsoever. He was perfectly great with it, and we became great friends. You know, we do things like they said, well, the edit's not going to be ready until late tonight, so this we're there in the morning, so we got screwed around our schedule. So we're there like 10 hours early. So what you want to do? Well, let's drive up to the casino and up the road in Connecticut a couple hours. So we drive up to the casino and he'd go play blackjack, and then I'd wander around because I didn't have, wasn't making that kind of money. And I'd spend the day with him, kind of like a son. And then because he had such poor vision and it would get dusky, he couldn't drive. Or he wouldn't drive. He shouldn't drive. And he had that big Cadillac with the license plate that said K-Fave on it. So I became the driver after dark, and we'd drive back to the studio and do our voiceovers, and then he'd stay over at the hotel where I stayed, and, you know, it was like the Big Brother thing. It was he was just so special. Mm-hmm. And I was not working for WWE when he passed, and I flew in from Atlanta to the funeral, and I think it shocked a lot of people because the one thing a guy told me years ago about the wrestling business is that once you get out of it, you can count your real friends on one hand. And I think people thought that because I was no longer employed by WWE for that few-month period when Gorilla passed, that I would not come back and pay my respects at the funeral. And obviously, I shocked a lot of people because you'd have to have a court order to keep me from paying my respects to him at that those services. So I think about him every day. And I hope that, I said this before, that I hope his two grandsons realize what, I'd love to be able to tell them someday what a great grandfather they had. It's just a dang shame that they didn't get to know him as some of us did.
Well, hopefully they'll get to hear this. I'll tell Val to have them listen, so they're hearing it for you. Let me ask you about the barbecue sauce. And by the way, once again, your show's at the House of Blues on May 31st. The doors are opening at noon. The show starts at 1. Go to JR's website or Ticketmaster.com to get tickets. These are some of the kind of stories you're going to hear during the one-man show, right? These are the stories you tell about the business, correct? And about your experiences.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. 40
okay.
years in the business, starting out as a fan, and got lucky getting in the business. So, I tell about my journey. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of poignancy. Takes you on a kind of an emotional ride of all the different jobs I've had and have lost and have gained and people I've known and have lost and have impacted my life. And then we get out of that and get into the Q&As. And no questions off limits. And we're letting people ask what they want. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell them I don't know. I don't make one up. I'm always honest. And we get asked some really unique questions, and it makes every show different. Every show has a different personality because the questions are always different, and the audiences are always unique. So I love that interaction. And so that's the thrust of the show. As far as I'm concerned, the fans are 10 of the stars, not me. And we just have a great time interacting and conversing and laughing and crying. And it's really a unique event without sounding too egocentric.
No, I bet.
I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to tell, the fans are going to be able to look into the business where usually it's closed doors, and they're not allowed in. So it's going to be very educational for all the fans. And maybe they can appreciate the business more,
So, Victoria, tell me about how you discovered JR's barbecue sauce and you started selling it in the restaurant at Squared Circle. You started using it on your food here, which, by the way, the barbecue sauce, and this is no BS, and I've been tweeting about it for weeks, is awesome.
It is.
It's awesome.
It is. And it is so good. I remember him contacting me.
Thanks.
He goes, yeah, it is awesome, JR. And everybody loves it. We gave, for WrestleMania, we gave a bottle of JR's barbecue sauce for every customer that came in. That was a lot of JR barbecue
sauce.
It is so phenomenal. He called me, and I was like, heck, I told my husband because he's the chef, and he goes, burger, and let's name it after him. And then we did, and it's one of our number one sellers.
JR's
breakfast. And then we have the Slobberknocker pizza, which has JR's barbecue sauce.
Yep.
With fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. You're not going to be able to diet here, JR, when you come in. It's our number one. I dieted for the Hall of Fame this year because I wore a white dress. In the WrestleMania, I was back at the restaurant, and I want the Slobberknocker, and we ran out of your sauce. That's how good it is. So you're the best. Everything you do, Jim Ross, you put a lot of love and a lot of, passion into, everything you do, and I'm glad that everybody in Chicago gets to share it, too.
Yeah. I remember people used to tease JR on Raw about his sauce all the time. And I'm like,
oh, that's right.
I haven't tasted the beef jerky yet, though. The beef jerky I have to try. I haven't had that yet.
Now that I've had the sauce, I'm like, stop teasing the man. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The man loves his sauce. And the other thing is, I hear, Jay, do you make your own mustard too, JR?
Yes.
Is that true?
Main Event mustard.
Yeah.
I got to get that too.
Our mustard has 1 gram of sugar.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's a jalapeno honey mustard. It's a high level honey mustard, high quality honey mustard that our partner makes, and then we add jalapeno mash, so it's a little spicy and a little sweet, but it's got 1 gram of sugar. It's very clean, very healthy, and it's really phenomenal. When I was trying to eat cleaner and not as much dairy and get rid of the mayo,
yeah,
I couldn't find the mustard that I really, you know, there's good mustard, but I really wanted something a little different, and so we created that mustard, and it's worked out. Become one of our best sellers.
Yeah.
The same story was the same concept behind the Chipotle ketchup. You know, I wanted to tired of just basic ketchup, and I'm a ketchup guy and a guy, and so we made the Chipotle ketchup. It's kind of sweet and smoky, but it's really good. And I've had people use it as steak sauce, as a base for pizza, in meatloaf. Any number of ways, on fries, onion rings. So the regular thing for ketchup, but I'm a foodie at heart, and I probably spend too much time working on these projects, but they're starting to show signs of life, so to speak. You know, we're getting into more grocery stores in Oklahoma,
yeah,
and then, you know, we hope that will spread to other grocery stores, but, you know, it's a labor of love, and I enjoy it, so, you know, to have it on Lisa's menu is awesome.
It is,
you know,
awesome.
That's neat. And I get it all the time. I get people all the time. They send me pictures of their burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
No, JR, you got a legit friend here, because Lisa is getting your sauce around Chicago. And everyone, the only problem is people hitting me up in Chicago going, all right,
since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
It's not in the grocery stores yet here, I go. But it actually makes the sauce hotter, because it makes people be like, ooh, I got to order this off
the website.
We also
sell it here.
You do sell
it here? We sell it here, absolutely.
Oh, well, then I'm going to tell people to come here.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yes, we do.
I didn't know. And you got the mustard too, right?
Yes, we do.
I didn't know about that.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
We have Lisa's husband and I have a game plan to really get stocked up in that area.
Right.
So fans in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, just got to go by the squared circle. They can buy the product without shipping and handling and all that craziness that goes online, and drive by and eat while you're there and take some sauce home. It's a pretty simple proposition,
mm-hmm,
and it's all good.
Steve, you got any questions for JR?
Yeah, JR, first, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I grew up with you. I mean, it's just was a wonderful experience with watching you call matches. But kind of an outside-of-the-box question here. How awesome was being on the sideline for the Sooner bowl game this past season?
Well, it was surreal because, you know, we were 17-point underdogs there in the Superdome against Alabama, and everybody thought that after Alabama lost to Auburn, the crazy play at the end of the game, that Alabama would be very irate, and that Alabama really, a lot of people still thought, was the best college football team in America. And so, you know, our big bonus at the end of the season was we get to go to New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl and play Alabama, who's still going to be pissed off, and they got all these NFL draft choices and all these great players, and Saban, you know, has got his legacy and all that. So, quite frankly, a lot of us went down to New Orleans thinking that we didn't have a big chance. But once I got into the team hotel the day before the game and I started talking to some of the players, you could kind of see a look in their eye that they were so tired of watching ESPN and hearing how they didn't have a single chance to win this game. It wasn't a matter of how bad you're going to lose, or if you're going to lose, it's just a matter of how bad are you going to lose, how much are you going to be embarrassed, how are you going to be man enough to take the whipping you're going to get, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a different side of the team. I had a buddy of mine give me a call that remained nameless because people do know him, and he gambles on football a lot, and he said, well, what do you think? I said, I think that if I were gambling, I would take the points, take Oklahoma and the points. Really?
Wow.
But yeah. And, of course, then Oklahoma wins outright, and it was surreal. It was the most amazing, rewarding, fun night that lasted all night because nobody wanted to go to bed. Everybody wanted to hang around the team hotel and talk about the game. It was absolutely fantastic. So we talked all night, and then everybody went, showered and went to the airport and came home. So it was awesome. It was just awesome. Love it.
That's great. I mean, I can just appreciate that because I know, you know, how much you love Oklahoma and that program. So that's just kind of a cool thing to see. You know, you get to see something kind of outside of wrestling and kind of you get to be the fan, again, of something different. So that's awesome.
I've been doing these one man shows. I got a lot of projects, I turn down paying gigs if it interferes with Oklahoma football come the fall. I'm doing a show there in Chicago, as we talked about, the last day of the month in May, 2:00 in the afternoon, all that good stuff, House of Blues.
Yep.
I may have one more show that we're looking at doing in connection with SummerSlam. That could be a big production. And then after that, I don't know if I'll do any more shows this year. I may cut her down until January just to so that my weekends aren't screwed up for going to football games. Because I go to all the games. I go to the road games.
Wow.
My wife and I live 3 miles from the stadium. So that's easy here in Norman. So I go to the home games. I go to the away games. And I'm not going to break that. I have fun. It's a blast. So,
have you been going to Thunder playoff games, JR?
I have not gone to a playoff game. I generally go to a half a dozen or so Thunder games. I got one of my buddies who owns the team, and, you know, I got his direct number, and I got his email, all that good stuff. He said, anytime you want to go, come to the game, just call me or email me. I'll get you, you know, take care of you. So I've done that a few times, but Lisa can tell you, when you're in the business and where you have access to tickets and people know you have access to tickets, it can be the biggest pain in the keister.
Absolutely.
Especially around WrestleMania time. They come out of the woodwork.
And your family tends to be the worst asking for tickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, cousins. Yeah, cousins, friends of cousins, neighbors of cousins, whatever. Everybody wants a ticket. And I got so many of my friends, my buddies that are in the NFL now that played at Oklahoma that they'll call, you know, I've gotten calls the day of WrestleMania saying, hey, can you give me a couple of real good seats for WrestleMania tonight? And I'm thinking, and I say to them, you got to be kidding me. The tickets have been on sale for 9 months.
Right.
There aren't any good seats left. Mm-mm. Look on StubHub to see what they were.
Right.
They're just not there. I can't pull them out. You know, I can't pull a rabbit out of my hat, so to speak.
You can't make
but
seats up, Jim.
I feel leery about. I feel guilty about badgering him. Now I'm thinking that LA wins Thursday night,
make
and that
the game.
Seventh game
yeah.
is going to be Sunday in Oklahoma City. So here's the situation. If I text him today. The game is tomorrow. I'm basically telling him, well, I don't think we're going to win Thursday. So,
that's funny.
You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I don't know. I may try to go Sunday. We'll see. But I'm a fan.
I got a solution.
I watch the games.
Here's your solution, Jerry. You go, I want tickets for the championship series first home game. Because then you're telling them you're going to win. And
yeah, that's good.
And you want in on the next round.
Yeah. Wow. I might do. That's a good. That's an interesting idea. That might be what I need to do.
That's the compromise there. I love the Thunder because they have a college crowd at this stadium that no other stadium has. I don't know how Thunder fans came about and how they became so passionate. And Kevin Durant's the greatest. He's awesome. And but JR, does it feel like the same type of crowd at a Sooners game? It feels like they have that college atmosphere.
Oh yeah, same feel. I rode. I came home from Toronto this week, and I was on, I connected in Dallas, and we had a little delay, and as usual, but flying is no fun. Mm-hmm. So it's a 28-minute flight, and it took me about 2.5 hours all said and done to get 28 minutes. But I sat next to one of the officials, one of the referees for last night's game. I recognized him because he used to own a steakhouse in Stanford, near the WWE headquarters that I used to go to with my buddies and my wife to eat. And so I knew him from the steakhouse, and I also knew he was the NBA referee. And I asked him about the same thing we're talking about, the crowd. He said, there's no crowd in the NBA like Oklahoma City, period. He said, they're pro crowds, and they pick their spots. Oklahoma City's crowd is always up there. They're always, it's a college atmosphere. And it's just like if you go to an OU football game, the atmosphere is pretty amazing because you have about 85,000 of those people like that that are at the Thunder game. They're always cheering. They're always standing up. And it's always funny because the older fans, old money fans, get PO'd because people are standing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they write letters to the editor because they went to the OU game and it was too loud.
Oh, my goodness.
So the theory, if it's too loud, you're too old.
Right, exactly. You know,
wear earmuffs. You know, adjust your hearing. Take your batteries out of your hearing. Yes. Do whatever you need to do. But it's not too loud. It can't get too loud at a ball game.
Oh, well, Jer, I do want to thank you for joining us. Victoria, is there anything else you want to talk to Jer?
I'm just excited to see you at the House of Blues. So I have some friends going with me. May 31st.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to see you. And, JR, I love you, and I always will, and I appreciate what you've done for me in my career. And wrestling is in my blood.
You're a Hall of Famer, and it's just a matter of time.
I agree.
Thank you so much, JR.
You deserve it. You've earned it. And I'll tell you this, not just clutch on the lines. She worked hard to become great, and she never quit working. And
she still works hard. It's crazy.
Always had a great attitude.
Thank
you.
And,
you know, never a problem. Never a problem. And it may sound like a little deal. So-and-so is never a problem.
Thank you.
I had 100-something people under contract, and they're 100 strong personalities, and a lot of them couldn't understand why they weren't on TV or why they weren't making X dollars or why they didn't have the title or why they weren't doing whatever. And, you know, show business and athletics, when you mix them up, you get stronger paranoia, you get stronger insecurities. And now that there's really only one major company that you can go make a living working for, it's even worse because you get those that aren't living their dream yet, and they're wondering if it's ever going to happen. And you have to do a lot more mentoring and a lot more counseling. I feel for those that are in talent relations now under the guise of what the business has evolved to. Because you can make a decent living working some indies if you got something else to lean on. But if you got a family and you got kids in school and you got to go feed them and pay the mortgage on indie wrestling money, man, that's really, really challenging.
Yeah.
Really challenging.
No,
I have such a kinship to those that do that. And that's why I enjoyed the Ring of Honor New Japan show I went to Saturday night. You know, I'm seeing they're bright-eyed. They have little pay-per-views. It's like they're WrestleMania. And I just got so heartwarming to see.
They're hungry. They're so hungry, right, JR?
Isn't it great to see how good Muda is, by the way, at like age 100 and whatever he is? I mean, that guy totally recreated himself. I was just watching Clash the other day, a Clash of the Champions that was during the JR and Ric Flair booking area with Muda, and I'm like, oh, man, Muda's so great. Great Muda's so great. And he totally recreated himself like the last 10 years, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing still.
We came two things there. One, he got such bad knees, he had to reinvent his style.
Right.
And his knees are real. They limit some of the things he used to do, so he just went to a new set of material. The other thing is that back in those days, there was serious conversation about Muda becoming a babyface and becoming the NWA champion.
Yeah.
But it just never materialized, but we thought, boy, this would be interesting to do, because he had a real unique fan base. You know, the only way that we kept him as a heel is that we had the great Gary Hart as his manager.
Right, right.
So that's kind of the same deal that WWE's in right now with Cesaro and Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
What have Brock Lesnar and Cesaro done lately that makes them a heel?
Nothing.
Have they pulled hair? Have they lied to the referee? Have they broken the rules? Oh, no, wait, there are no rules to break, because they now, how do you be a heel?
It's
your body English. It's your body language. Yeah. It's how you carry yourself, because there are no rules to break.
No, that's funny you brought that up. That's funny you brought that up, because I was just reading the other day. Is it true that they're teaching the wrestlers that they don't want them to, like, put their foot on the ropes anymore, that they don't want them to, like, cheat anymore because it's not a sport then? I read this somewhere is going on. Is this true?
I don't know. A lot of things come out of – a lot of things are attributed to come out of WWE that I really don't know, yay or nay.
Yeah.
But I do know this. I know Vince – hates the wrestling term. He doesn't want to be a pro wrestling promoter. He wants to be and is a very, very successful visionary entertainment entrepreneur, producer, what have you. But be a pro wrestling promoter doesn't seem to be something that he's overly excited about being labeled.
Yeah.
And to some extent, he's right, because there is a pro wrestling bias. I experienced it many, many times in my career, and people look down at you because you're the pro wrestler. It's like you're a sword swallower in a carnival.
Right,
You know, you have no skills except you can swallow a sword. And so I don't know, but I know that the basic fundamental traits that create a villain in a pro wrestling scenario are slowly eroding. And they're just fading away. And I can tell you that when the territories faded away, it had a major negative impact on the overall landscape of the business that we're seeing today very vividly. And if you don't have rules, then heels have no rules to break. If heels don't break rules, then they're not heels.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a protagonist and an antagonist in a match compelling. So that's kind of where I look at that. And those are some of the things that we talk about. Really engage in some fun conversation at these women's shows. And the two things I'd like to leave you with. One is, people are going to automatically assume that the House of Blues is going to be sold out. I can tell you there'll be tickets available. We always hold tickets back. So if you decide to come late, make a late buying decision, you can buy tickets at the door. That's number one. Important to know. And some people, believe it or not, are leery of going online and buying anything, especially even at Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
The second thing is that Monday of that week, May 26th, I'm going to be down in Fort Bliss near El Paso, and I'm going to have my first opportunity to do play-by-play for professional boxing with Golden Boy Promotions.
Yes, I saw this the other
Fox
day on
Sports
your website.
One. That'll be in prime time. So that'll be a fun OJR doing boxing, so we'll see how many slobberknockers we work in there. So
it'll be fun. But before I let you go, are you being trained to be a boxing announcer? I know you're a big boxing fan, and I know you follow it, but are you getting any pointers or anything from anybody about announcing boxing?
I am. I'm following the same train of thought I did when I did the NFL football or XFL football or wrestling. How I prepare. I'm watching more boxing, and I have a buddy of mine, Mauro Ranallo, does play-by-play for Showtime. He does the Mayweather fights. He's was on my podcast not too long ago. He's a big fan of my work, and I have his. He started out as a wrestling guy, and so he's kind of my boxing coach.
There you go.
But his theory has been, just go be yourself. If you're prepared and know who the fighters are, what they're fighting for, you know, hey, you're only going to get hit with a – it's not like you're going to snap mare or drop kick. There's only two things people can do. You can either hit somebody with your right hand or your left hand.
Yeah.
There's no kicking. There's no knees. It's not MMA. So I don't want to sound like it's going to be a layup, but I think that I can handle it. And I'm excited about the opportunity, because for me, it lets me represent wrestling fans and the wrestlers themselves that – don't put boundaries on us. Don't define us because of, what we did or what we used to do or
right.
what we do now. So it'll be fun. And by the time I get to Chicago, I'll have that boxing event under my belt. It'll give us something else to talk about. So I'm either going to walk in and say, I don't want to talk about the boxing thing. It was a train wreck. Or, hey, I kind of like that boxing gig. Maybe I'll do some more.
That's great. That's great.
That's good.
Have you ever talked to Dana White or any of them about commentating for the MMA or UFC?
I talked to Dana, and I really like Dana, and Dana's a I think likes me. We have a lot in common. I've been around a lot of alpha males in my life, and so I kind of understand Dana, where he's coming from. I know what they're doing there at USC as far as trying to build a global brand. I've been a part of that with WWE. So we've talked. But we've never really talked about me coming to work there to do any commentary. There's a couple of ideas that they floated by me that we're talking about, but it doesn't have anything to do with replacing Mike Goldberg or doing anything along those lines. It's really having to do with their digital broadcast network, and we'll see where that leads us. I threw an idea at them that I'm at the point where I'm lucky that I can do things I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like doing these one-man shows. I really like doing the podcast. I really like working for Fox Sports. But I had an idea for a concept, for a project for me to do for the Fight Pass Network it's in the discussion stages, let's put it that way. So, I'm never say never to any gig. You know, you're an entrepreneur, You're always out there looking, and somebody asked me this today. He said, would you ever announce pro wrestling again? I said, I'm not looking to do it anymore. It's not at the top of my wish list, but if the right deal came along and it fit and I thought it would be fun, sure it would. But is it my number one priority? Nope, not anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
You,
I guess I'm a politician sitting on the fence, but if it was the right deal and you're independent business person, and you're an entrepreneur at heart, well, if it's a good deal, then why wouldn't you do it?
Sure. Well, you're in a great position.
Ego,
yeah,
or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My ego has a price, so I can. it could be very soothed for the right dollar. So I don't have people. I think we take it any way they want. You know, JR services are for hire. Damn right they are.
Well, that's great. I'm very happy for you. You seem to be in a great place in life right now. You get to enjoy yourself a little and do everything that you love. I'm so happy to have you and Victoria on at the same time.
Thank you.
And here at Squared Circle, which is amazing, here on Ashland Fullerton. Great, great food. I can't wait till you come in and try it, JR.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I'm gonna be there. I just don't know what day, but without question. I'm going to arrive in Chicago, I think it's on Thursday of that week, and I'm going to leave on Sunday. So I expect to be by the Squared Circle at least once.
No, I can't wait.
And maybe more, because I don't think I can eat everything that I want to eat.
Not in one day, no.
Twice.
This is the first restaurant I could ever say I went to. And there were things on the menu I couldn't try until the next time I was here. I was so stuffed.
Right.
Like, you want to have that Twinkie milkshake or you want to have that Twinkie calzone, but then after having a slobber knocker or whatever,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, no, I'm going to gain 10
tapping
pounds.
Out.
Yeah.
You're tapping out. You should make it the tap out.
So,
you know.
So thank you so much, Jim, and I hope you come do the show again sometime so we can do like a more in-depth coverage of your career. And I can't wait to come out and see the show. I know Lisa's going. I'm going. Steve's going. It's something I'm really looking forward to.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to promote it, and I appreciate what you're doing there.
Thank you, sir.
For my sake and our group here. So I'm grateful for the time, and I can't wait. Lisa, can't wait to see you.
I can't wait to see you, too.
And we'll it's always good to see people that you miss and that you enjoyed working with. And so... It'll be a fun trip for many reasons to come into Chicago.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
It's such a special city, you know. All the way from that 1989 match with Flair and Steamboat to WrestleMania 13 with Bret and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
So the night I was announced going into the Hall of Fame was in Chicago in 2007. So that city is really, really special to me because I kind of got my notice. I got noticed big time in '89 for that Flair Steamboat match when we came there to the UIC Pavilion to do a pay-per-view. Way out of our league as far as the Mid-Atlantic wrestling into Chicago. That was huge for all of us. And then the call of Stone Cold and Bret's match at WrestleMania 13 was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Then 10 years later, there I'm sitting when I just announced I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. Even though I knew the announcement was going to happen, I had no idea that the reaction was going to be as it was. And to be honest with you, WWE had already talked about to someone about replacing me later that year, and they were going to kind of put me in the Hall of Fame to, you know, it was kind of a farewell gift, I guess.
Right.
They had talked to me about it, but that was a story. And so the crowd, the ovation in Chicago that night was so overwhelming, I couldn't contain my emotions. And I remember I was getting ready to sit down, and Lawler, you know, kind of give me the high sign that, don't sit down, because they had told him in his headset, let's just milk this as long as we can. This is amazing.
Awesome.
So it kind of gave me a reprieve on my Monday Night Raw gig. So there's a lot of interesting stories about Chicago that we'll be talking about at this this event, the House of Blues, and maybe at the Square Circle restaurant, too. You know, I hope at least let me hold court there. We'll have some fun out there, too. So.
That's
going to be a great weekend.
Yes. We're excited to have you.
Thank you, sir, so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys.
Bye.
Have a great day, and thanks.
Okay, love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Jim.
He was the best, huh?
He was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always, like, educational talking to
He's
you
so
know?
Fun, too.
Yeah.
Like, his stories aren't boring or anything.
He
doesn't sit there. He has comedy, like little elements of like.
And he doesn't cut you off. Like,
no.
Usually when you want to interview people, they're like, oh, how long is this going? He's willing to talk and talk and talk and talk.
Yeah, he's good.
That's for sure. So we're going to eat, and then we'll come back with the second half of the show, which we taped this. We'll just come out and say it.
Yeah. Well, we did for lots of guests.
You know,
this is not new.
And that's the thing. I don't even know who we're going to do next month. I don't know what we should do for wrestling guests next month. I mean, we should do a show with just Victoria at one point.
Yeah.
Because I can talk about your career forever. And then, and Jim's right. Especially if the rumor about Mickey going in this year, you're coming up.
That actually was very heartwarming when he said that.
I don't think he's BSing at all.
That's
listen, you were overall, like, between you and Trish, you guys were on the best quality matches, like, overall, like, technically.
Yeah.
I mean, Lita was great. Lita, of course, is great, but she was a high spot kind of girl, and her punches looked terrible. And I mean, I love her, but she should never throw a punch.
I think Trish and I had the agreement we'd lay it in. If it hurts, you say sorry. You don't say sorry.
Together.
We beat each other up.
You
man.
Guys literally had a year where it was you two.
It was. It was like almost
but
old school
she's
way.
The heel
you know?
And you're the heel.
Right,
and
right.
It was crazy.
That was weird. Yeah,
it
yeah.
was crazy.
It was.
Yeah, I remember when Trish was the heel for a while. But we'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for having us by Squared
Oh,
Circle.
No, thank you.
I'm about to eat. That's why I'm wrapping it up because I'm
yeah.
hungry.
Are you
starving?
I am.
I don't know what I'm going to get.
Here's the thing. I got to tell everyone. I have my Squared Circle days where like I eat light when I know I'm coming.
Yeah.
Got to clear some room.
Cheat day. Yeah. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I don't know why we're eating at Squared Circle. I don't know why I'm telling myself I'm going to the gym later tonight when I'm eating at Squared Circle.
You're another glutton.
I did that before.
Listen,
that's what I did.
Back day, so it's okay. It's all going down there is the way I look at it. It's all going to the back.
Oh, good.
Jim was a blast. May 31st, the doors are going to open at noon over at the House of Blues. Go get your tickets at JR's website or Ticketmaster. And like JR said, if you're afraid of the old internet, go to House of Blues yourself. Buy the tickets there. There will be plenty available up until the day of. He says he's holding back some but I'll tell you this: we know the Chicago wrestling crew
is
insane.
Yeah.
They're so you were at C2E2, right,
yeah.
Victoria? You know how many fans
Absolutely.
Come out for the wrestlers.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling this thing may be packed. So
I have one quick
I'm not scaring everyone
no,
off.
No.
Get your tickets though.
I have one quick thing I have to slip in. It's funny that Jim mentioned in case you're afraid of the internet, because I was listening to a show, and when he had Mick Foley on, he said, go to your local Ticketmaster box offices.
And then he goes,
did
he really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And then he goes, wait a second, I'm dating myself terribly.
Right, right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he goes, well, go, Ticketmaster.com, I mean.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Go to your local box office. Oh, that's so great. I remember when you used to have to go to the Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah.
And they had a Ticketmaster across the street. I remember, like, they'd have SummerSlam or
yeah.
some event,
right,
like
right.
Monday Night Raw or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you got to buy tickets at 10 a.m. So you'd go stand outside the box office door with, like, a line
yeah.
of people.
Well,
you don't have to do
I used
that
to go
anymore.
To Carson's. Carson's, I'm dead serious.
Carson's had a
Carson's,
box office.
Yeah, Carson's.
At Yorktown.
Yorktown,
that's
yeah.
Right.
I used to
that's
go to Carson's.
Right. Oh, that's so
Mom's
funny.
Mom's shopping for
I wish
for
you
clothes.
Brought that up. I should have let you bring that up. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll have Jim on again and
we'll
can
bust
his chops
then,
about the
yeah.
box, the local box
your
office.
Your local box office, yeah.
So thank you, Squared Circle. Come on by Fullerton, Ashland. I'm telling you right now, and you guys know I don't BS because we've done the show from the restaurant that we did in L.A. Everyone went there and went, you were right. This food is the
sweet.
Bomb. It's great. I'm telling you right now, even if you like wrestling or don't like wrestling, I've told people, even if you don't like wrestling, don't
sweet.
Matter. Duck fat fries.
Yeah. I know. I
hot
know.
Hot dogs is going down. Hot dogs.
I know.
Doug's son is closing up in October.
Right.
So you want duck fat fries? You can give them every day
yep.
at Square
yep.
Circle.
Yep. Yep.
Every day.
Yeah.
Not just Fridays. Every day. The duck cone feet nachos that we
yes,
had last time.
I wanted to bring that up, too.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Well, Jim's going to probably eat here more than once because
yeah.
he's
yeah.
going to see this menu.
I'm
and
excited. I'm
I
excited.
Can't wait. I can't wait. What a great guy.
He's
very.
A great guy.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank
we'll
you,
be,
guys.
We'll be back soon, and let's go eat, Steve.
Yes.
All right.
Let's eat.
All right. That was...
thank you.
You
could
what
hear,
was that?
You could hear Steve like,
No, he was ready.
My
he
favorite like, part, like she's like, oh, your matches with Trish, and like she's just like, and I love the way she's like, oh, we'd lay it in, and then you hear Steve go, yeah.
Well, I just like to slip that in for a second.
Oh, Steve loves Victoria, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, well, who doesn't?
She's lovable.
Who doesn't? It's hard for any of us to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great. It was cool talking to Jim Ross.
He's very much a Southern gentleman. You know, he's kind of, even though he's from Oklahoma, he's very much like, he's not, you'd think someone working, I think imagining being in a business like that, I think it's easy to be cynical, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really not what you'd think. And he's droll, his sense of humor. I mean, he's got kind of a dark, droll sense of humor, but he's not a crass dude.
Nope. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
What else is going on? So Jim Ross, of course, go to his show at the House of Blues. I'm going. I think it's right after we're done filming this month for May. So that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. I hopefully meet Jim in person. I want to thank Jim Ross, and I want to thank Lee Capreas, Alex Luisi, Steve Weirich, and, of course, Victoria over at Squared Circle for joining us tonight, Squared Circle on Ashland and Fullerton. The food's outstanding, and the wrestling is not just a gimmick. It is a great place to hang out, have some drinks, and eat some great grub. Jim Ross, thank you. House of Blues, his dates you could check out at Ticketmaster and on his website as well. You can check out the Ross Report on podcast1.com as well. It's a great podcast. He's much better than I am. and next week, please join us. Mark Pellegrino will be here along with, I believe, Nick Searcy. So, Peabody Award-winning Nick Searcy. So please join us next week, and we will be back with more for you then. Thank you.